audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline.
Loveline.
With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew, phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew is a board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, and tonight, keeping with our Family Guy theme, Alex Borstein is here.
Family Guy week.
Yes.
Alex, of course, does the voice of Lois and Fishitakanawi, Asian reporter. And who else do you do on that show?
I also do Stewie. And I do Brian.
And Peter.
Peter as well.
Peter and Brian. Wow. Because
I did Peter and the Stewie last night.
Oh, it was incredible. Yeah,
yeah. It was amazing.
Did you audition just in case?
In case there's an accident or something.
Or renegotiations. Mm-hmm. Remember they did that with The Simpsons? They tried to replace him when they wanted more money?
Yeah. Did they? But
how did they? I went on one of the auditions.
They didn't make any, they didn't actually do any episodes. They
but they were auditioning people to replace like Lisa Simpson and Bart and... Isn't that lame?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like you have to sort of... I guess you couldn't kill the entire cast off. But, you know, if one person goes, if Lisa's got to go, don't replace her. You just got to kill her. Otherwise, it's creepy, like the Partridge Family.
Right. Well, you know, we've replaced
a nice Jewish
Meg.
Boy playing the drums.
We have had three Megs.
Oh, well, yeah. We have talked about that.
Once upon a time, it was someone named Cree Summer. This is some great trivia.
I remember Cree Summer.
And then there was Lacey Chabert.
Oh,
one
yes.
Of the,
yeah.
Party of Five.
Party
of
Five, yeah.
Dead Parents, always funny.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, now we have the lovely Mila Kunis.
Well, I think we probably talked about this last time Seth was in here, but how many episodes did they all do? Has Mila done the lion's share of them?
Yes, Mila took over and has now really become Meg.
Yeah. But now, I was thinking on my way, and Alex also, you know, from Mad TV.
Which, by the way... Oh, wait.
Having a love affair with Mad.
Yeah, they're playing so many reruns. My kids have picked up on this, and every time they watch TV, they want to start with that.
That's really irresponsible parenting.
It really is.
No, it's not bad. It's not bad.
Dirty, filthy show.
Some of it is. Some of it. I've monitored carefully, but your stuff.
Yeah, it's all over. It's now, I'm actually seen. I left the show maybe 2-3 years ago. I'm now seen more that it's in syndication on Comedy Central.
I'm walking down the street out here, Miss Swan.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Well, I should sue them.
Especially, I mean like, you
He's
know,
buying
especially
condoms
like younger
China
adolescent
town.
Kids.
I'm not afraid of suing a toddler.
Not toddlers.
They're doing
15.
Mrs. Swan?
They look like a man. I was at Magic Mountain yesterday. I heard a lot of that.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. I got to start selling bumper stickers.
And I was not I was not the one initiating the conversation, amazingly, or initiating the Miss Swan.
Well, Alex, I was thinking, now Alex I've known since the Acme Theater days. Oh, God. Let's see. I probably
Wait a minute. He said you met first yelling at him in his kitchen or something.
Yes.
What was that?
What is this?
No, I said we met. I've known Alex briefly from the Acme period, the Acme Theater days, and then I threw some sort of party in my apartment, and she yelled at me in my kitchen.
I did?
I can't remember what it was about.
Just were you like living like a pig and drinking and
it was a party. You wanted something. There was something. You told me to get out of the way so you could chop something or something. I can't remember what it was.
That sounds right. I imagine we didn't have sex though, did we?
Just oral.
Okay.
Just oral. And I turned the TV off. I'm a perfect gentleman.
Oh, sweet.
Alex is also married to a dear, dear friend of mine, Doug Jackson, who goes by some other name now.
Not Jackson exactly. Douglas.
Well, there you go.
You're dyslexic.
It's like PE class. I was thinking with the new success of The Family Guy and Lois being such a, and also Trisha Taka. Is it Takahara?
Takanawa.
It's Trisha Takanawa. And she speaks in reporter speak.
That's awesome. I was thinking, now, do you have a long-term contract? I mean, you could really screw things up if you just said, I want some more money, I'm not coming back.
Yeah, I suppose I could. I think...
Could you?
I hadn't thought about it, but now that you bring it up, I'm going to talk to Seth tomorrow.
Yeah, tell him he needs some...
I'm going to tell him it was your idea.
Well, we discussed that they backed the Brinks truck up...
For him.
To his house.
Yes,
every day.
He drives it.
He drives a Brinks truck. Yeah. And we also figured out that even if you have a circular driveway where it would be more convenient for them to actually pull in forward with the Brinks truck and stuff, they still back the Brinks truck.
That's what I hear.
Up to the house. Yeah.
I heard that Seth actually just converted his house into a Brinks truck.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. It's the largest Brinks
piggy
truck
bag.
Ever. It's huge.
Yeah, I saw lots of bags with the dollar sign on it.
Yeah. He wears a mask when he holds them and a striped shirt.
Yeah.
He wears spats. And a top hat, has a big mustache like the Monopoly man. Point is, he's rich beyond his wildest dreams, and why not? Why shouldn't you be kissed into some of that?
You know what? He deserves every penny. The guy's a genius.
All right.
But I should start sucking off of it. I think you're right.
Yeah, and you, you're also writing episodes.
Yeah, I write
now?
On the show right now full time and doing the voices, and now we're doing these live shows. We're going to New York. I'm leaving tomorrow, and that's the coolest thing ever.
Where are you doing that?
We're doing it at the Town Hall in New York.
Oh. Mm. And Jimmy went out to the one that was out here and said it was fantastic. It's sort of a table read and then some songs. And
yeah, like we sit around in director's chairs in a semicircle and we read the script aloud, which sounds lame, but it's kind of cool because we're all ad-libbing and being extremely filthy and inappropriate. And then there's a giant screen behind us and showing you some of the animation while we're doing it. And
is it of the upcoming episodes or old ones?
It's an existing, we don't like to say old, Dr.
Existing Kurt. Episodes.
Pre-owned. Yeah. Pre-owned.
We like to say vintage.
Vintage. Yeah. Classic.
Reconditioned.
Yeah. It's
That's right. Repurposed.
They're existing episodes. But we did show some clips from the new premiere coming up.
Mm.
Which is pretty cool.
Is that? And then there's some Q&A at the end of the show?
And then there's some singing Seth and I do, which is wonderful and horrible all at once.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's Q&A.
Wow. And I let's see. What did we hear? We had Quagmire singing last night.
And Brian and Peter. And Lois.
Oh, that's
and
right.
The
Family
opening.
Guy theme.
That's right.
The Extendo theme. Well, Mazel Tov is
your people thank
say.
You.
Drew, half of Drew's people say. I know it's Alex Borstein, but it was really Alex Fairchild. She's changed it to Borstein as she got into the business.
Well, there's not enough Jews in show business.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's
I'm here to even it out.
You know what I thought? You know, I was watching.
This is really good.
Well, first racist remark 7 minutes into the show, but I thought. You know, I always complain that the Asians really have no juice in Hollywood. You know, I mean, they're not represented in any TV commercials.
Unless a white person plays an Asian person.
Right. What I'm saying is if there's not X amount of black sitcoms on Jesse Jackson as a protest, but there's no voice of the Asians, they're just sort of going to work and keeping quiet, right? I was watching this new Mazda commercial, which has all the other engineers from the leading Japanese car companies
Honda,
all standing around, Honda, Toyota, Nissan engineers all standing around, drooling over the new Mazdas, thinking, what are we going to do? Now we're being crushed by our competition. It's two white guys and a black guy. No Asians, by the way, representing the world's biggest Asian companies. The three.
Interesting.
You've seen the commercial. They've had them. They've had the one where the guy's taking his car for a test ride. Now the guy's got the Zoom Zoom phone ring. It's two white guys and a husky black guy, and they're wearing things. They're wearing lab coats that read Toyota,
Honda.
Nissan, and Honda.
But, you know, I hear that black is the new Asian.
Mm. Oh, let's hope so.
It's all fashion.
My point is...
I can imagine the character you're going to come
up with. Now, by the way, these are huge, huge Japanese car companies. Could you imagine if there was a car company that was just out of Africa? There's nothing but black-owned and two white guys and an Asian guy saying they're representing. Really?
No.
How would that work?
No.
Would that work?
No.
I don't think that would work.
No. I think it might.
Let's think about that.
I'd
let's
buy
think
that
about
car.
Let's think about it. Went out of Johannesburg.
No.
The three
Nairobi.
Three of them. Three
a
huge
Sun
black
City
car
Jeep.
Company. Yeah, and then two white guys and a Asian guy. Yeah, I'm just saying. The Asians should be complaining.
This show's provocative.
Well, wouldn't you complain if you're Asian and you have Nissan, Toyota,
Honda.
You know what, though?
And Mazda all represented in lab techs, technicians. But these guys are engineers from the company. The two fat
my
white
Honda
guys and a black guy?
Was actually made in Canada.
By Japanese guys.
I don't know.
I guarantee the
it's
engineer
true,
wasn't a fat black
now.
Guy.
Well,
you never know.
Being made in this continent now.
All right. Sure. Am I right or am I right?
You're right. You're
I heard
right.
that
Thank
before
you.
Rock went into television, he was actually a car engineer.
Oh, The Rock.
Rock, yeah. That's what I hear.
No what way. Happened to Rock? Wait, is that the bald, what's the guy's name? James Dutton.
Yeah. That was Rock.
Pulled that right
Didn't
out of my
somebody?
Ass.
Didn't he kill somebody?
Pulled it out of my
somebody.
Ass.
Wow.
Yeah.
He killed somebody.
Yeah, just to watch him die. Here's my point.
Yeah?
Drew?
I'm listening.
I don't know what I'm saying. I'm saying Asians, let's go.
Yeah.
Get it together. You're going to let the engineers from Honda and Nissan be white guys and black guys? Where's the Asians? It's your company. All right. All right, that's how you know. Jesse?
Yes?
By the way, when they cast these things, does anyone raise their hand and go, these are the biggest Japanese car manufacturers in the world. We can't get one Asian guy in there?
Yeah.
To punch everything else but the Asian guy? Which just really goes to show you, everybody, all you got to do is complain.
Why don't you call Margaret Cho? Maybe she can
I'm going to get her in on that. I think she's Korean, right?
Yeah, that's Asian.
Hyundai.
Although I had Korean friends yelling at me that that's Oriental, not Asian, if you're from Korea.
Ooh.
Really?
It was, oh my God, now we cannot win.
Well, I think Hyundai is Korean.
Yeah, I'm just Kia? Saying. I'm just saying.
What is Kia?
That may be Korean, too. Yeah. Jesse?
Yeah.
I'm just saying, you think when they get the Korean car companies up there, it's going to be Korean people representing?
No, it's not. Yeah. Jesse?
Yeah?
You're 24?
Yes.
What's up?
Y'all probably gonna think I'm really horrible. Last time my husband was in the military, he just got out. He was gone for pretty much 2 years, 18 months in Iraq and 6 months in Germany. And ever since he's gotten back, it's weird. I don't really want him to touch me. I don't like it when he kisses me.
How long has he been back?
He's been back 2 months.
How long have you been married?
6 years.
Yeah. After about year four, it's weird when you kiss.
That's right. You've been married since you were 18. How old is he?
You don't need that.
He's 20.
You get married to kiss.
Have you been with somebody else during the time that he was gone?
No.
Really?
Really.
Are you mad at him for being gone?
I was for part of the time he was gone, yes.
But did you have a father that abandoned you?
No. Well,
was he Asian?
I was adopted.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Ooh. Wow.
Did you feel differently about the war? Did you not believe in the war he was fighting?
I don't really know. I don't agree with the war, but I agreed with what he was doing. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Jesse, okay, as Adam would say, let's turn over all the cards. What's going on here? What are you feeling? We're guessing, we're reaching. What's the deal?
I don't know if it feels weird, and it feels like he came back and, I don't know, I have four kids.
Who?
It feels like he came back and... I don't know.
All right. How many of those kids are his?
All of them.
Really?
Yes.
How about getting a little
so
family?
Refreshing.
Yeah, a little couples therapy to save this family a little bit. I mean, maybe he's been changed by the war and you're sort of picking up on that.
She's been alone. If you've been alone for 2 years, you kind of get used to it. You create your own rhythm. You kind of create your own day and everything you need to do and your priorities. And then he comes back and there's a big wrench thrown in what you've kind of gotten used to.
Right.
She's resentful and angry for some reason.
Yeah, you got a nice little schedule of drinking NyQuil and neglecting your kids.
Right,
and all of a sudden this guy comes in.
What are you going to do?
Yeah, you know, I'm right.
I won't quite go that far, but...
Well, close enough. All right, listen. I need you to focus on this guy in your relationship on behalf of your four kids.
Yes.
Okay?
Which is why I'm calling, because everybody
okay.
else talks
All right.
about
well,
it says I'm horrible.
We don't know what the answer is. Give yourself some time to decompress. I agree with Alex. Yeah. 2 years is a long time.
People change, okay? You're away for 2 years. He's had this overwhelming, intense experience. Mm-hmm. You've built up resentments and a life of your own without him. Now you're trying to be lovers again after being apart and thrown into two different people when you left. You were 22 when he left.
Right.
I mean, a whole lot of things have changed, and now you're trying to re-hook up as though things hadn't.
They have. Split 2 years.
I know.
And four kids.
Crazy.
Laura's got to change you. I mean, that's...
Yeah, right. And so you need to set up a new equilibrium. I know that's a big word for old Jesse there in Arkansas.
Yeah.
A new... establish your relationship anew with who you are now.
Yes.
And if you can't do that, get some help. I'm sure the military would offer some of that for nothing. On behalf of your kids, commit yourself to this.
All right.
There you go.
And they always say, you want to talk down here? Yeah. I have a question for Alex.
My father is actually a therapist, and he works for the vets.
Oh, he does?
He does.
Mm.
He's in the hospital right now, so we'll give a shout-out to Irv.
Uh-oh. What's he in for?
He's had pneumonia. He's been there for 2 weeks.
Oh, my.
Yeah, bad.
Yay. Oh, that was one of the few times Drew got the inflection off somebody, and I didn't. He said, works with the vets. He's in the hospital right now.
I thought he was working.
I thought he was...
Uh-huh.
I thought he's working in the veterans hospital.
No, he's in fact flat on his back.
How does he work with the veterans? Does he go into the veterans hospital?
Yes, he works at the veterans
PTSD
hospital
stuff.
In Sepulveda, California. And yeah, he works.
We had this conversation last time. I think.
On Sepulveda or in Sepulveda?
No, the Westwood VA.
Yeah.
No, it's not Westwood. It's actually in the valley. But yeah.
Oh, that's another one. They have two of them on Sepulveda, essentially, or off Sepulveda.
Yeah, because it's in the valley.
Right. Okay, it's in Sepulveda. This other one's on Sepulveda.
This
right,
is
right.
boring for everyone. Yeah.
But, so he does PTSD and alcoholism and all the good stuff that all the vets have.
I'd do it. I'd do that, but I'd dress up like Patton. And I'd just go in there with like a ivory-handled Colt, and I'd be like, hey, man, get a hold of yourself! I'd slap him with a glove. You make me sick! Get back out there! And they'd go like, we're not there, right? Get out!
I think he's so good at what he does.
I'd call him Yellow.
No one connects more with men who've seen action than like a 5'6" Jewish guy who was raised Orthodox.
Oh, yeah.
No one really can get inside their heads better.
Yeah. No. I mean, when you've lost as many bodies to manure
fires. To the Talmud.
Fires,
that's the right,
Talmud
man.
Tipping over and crushing them. Yeah. when you've seen that kind of action. When you've had your ass kicked by, not Viet Cong, but your mom, that many times, you know what it's like.
A much fiercer enemy.
Oh, you can't stop that. You got to go in.
He's actually fabulous at what he does.
All right. I'm sure he is. Jim?
Yeah?
You're 18?
Yeah, it's actually Sam.
Sam.
Yeah.
All right, what's up?
First of all, before I get to my question, you guys want to say you guys are awesome. You guys rule.
Thanks.
Alex, you're awesome on the CD. I heard it, so.
Thank you.
Yeah. Before I get to my question also, there's a quick thing that I'd like to say. I spoke to one of the cast members of Family Guy. I'll just call him M.H. I'm sure he can figure it out.
Mm-hmm. I know who that is.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I spoke to him about internship at Family Guy, and he gave me the number of the Family Guy office and someone I should speak to.
Uh-huh.
There was a little confusion with something. There's something I would like to speak with you that's best asked off the air, if it's okay, if I can have a minute of your time.
I would suggest calling 1-800-LOVE-191.
Let's just call that N-O.
That is the number you called.
Oh. Well, I don't understand what happened.
Well, here she is. What do you want to... You can't talk to her off the air. She's a huge star.
Yeah. Okay. I saw that in Catwoman, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's very impressive.
Yeah, I'll tell you. Nothing like a good ass-kissing to get an intern
good job.
Badge of honor, Catwoman is.
All right. All
who's
right.
M.H.?
All right.
I'm not going to out him on the air. I'm just going to give him a really hard time when I see him
good.
In New York at the live show.
Mmm.
Ah.
You gotta stop the show.
I'm gonna stop tape.
You gotta figure this out.
It could be one of the writers.
The writer does a voice.
It's
not our usual form.
What a mystery.
Right. What's Phil Lamar do over there?
Phil Lamar does some voices on our show.
Yeah, I saw him when I was over there. But Phil, now that's F.
That's P, actually, yeah.
No, that's F.
How dare you?
That's F.
Yes.
Phil. P. Pill.
You're absolutely right.
His name is Pill?
I was thinking in Greek.
Pill. That'd be funny if the guy's name is Pill. But it's Phil, okay? Just like Phil.
Calm down. Sidebar.
Hold on. Your dad is a phycologist, not a psychologist.
He is, in fact, a phycologist.
A psychologist.
Where were we, Drew? We're not going to guess this unless you get on the internet.
Yeah.
All right, I put Sam on hold because I'm deciding whether I want to hang up on him or not.
Honestly, I don't have information. I don't know. I wouldn't know how to help him with that. I know that they have all the interns they need at this moment.
I think he made a wisecrack about Catwoman, but on the other hand, I appreciate a quick comeback. You know, especially when it has nothing to do with me. You know what I mean? So I'm going to let Sam hang for just a little bit. Married with two kids, gained 30 pounds in the last year.
Married with two kids, having threesomes. Come on.
All right. Mandy? Well, I was going to go there, but I had to have our guests insulted by Sam.
I know.
Go ahead, Mandy.
Actually, I guess this is pertaining to last night's show because I'm in New Mexico and I'm hearing that, you know, we're a little far behind here. But he was saying that a girl had called in with her boyfriend and she wanted to have a threesome with her friend.
Hold on a second. Drew, you're indeed is almost as obnoxious as the how so I hear
it was meant to be.
Well, it worked.
I didn't tell you.
Well,
indeed.
It worked.
Indeed.
Well, you succeeded.
Indeed.
How so?
You guys are like a sweet old couple.
Yeah. Mandy?
Yes.
I'm sorry. So you're a day behind. We're talking about threesomes and you were going to say...
Well, no, you were, and
sounds like you laughing about Phil.
I'm married, and I have children, and I have been married for almost 5 years, and I deeply care for my husband, but I am myself a bisexual, and I like to bring women home. And he was saying that if you deeply care for someone, that you shouldn't have threesomes, and that the emotions tied in with that, you know, aren't healthy for a good relationship. But I was, you know, I... It made me feel like I was wrong for doing this, and that I'm putting.
We are not making judgment,
and it is in jeopardy. So,
oh, you are.
What would Alex's father say? As a combat veteran, yeah. And also, I'm guessing a veteran of many threesomes.
We would say, "Baruch et Adonai Hambora." People all over the valley are dying laughing in New York.
Manny? Mm-hmm. Oh, plus, yeah, all the Jews he has to deal with the combat fatigue.
Of course.
Don't you think her husband, it depends on how hot the chick might be that she bring home?
No, but here's the deal.
Oh, for the husband,
that's the point.
Yeah.
She's 25. How old's your husband?
We have an agreement. I mean, it's all up to me. This is definitely a girl that I bring home for myself and my husband.
Yeah.
I don't bring home another penis. I married a penis. I have that.
Yeah, Mandy.
Mandy, you got a
Randy. Mandy, get out of your head here.
You've
got some trauma stuff.
Bad.
Yeah, you've got some boundary issues.
Married a penis. By the way, if that was on the cake, yeah. If there's a penis next to the bride, a little miniature wax one, that's in poor taste.
No, but I mean,
I'm open-minded.
Never. It's just...
Mandy,
you know,
listen.
All right, hold on. Let's talk about Mandy.
Yeah, trauma.
She got a rap.
Trauma. It's all intellectualized, why it's working the way it does, why it has to be good the way she does it.
Right.
All defensive and, you know, in her head.
But listen. I will say, I do agree with Alex that if you're the husband and, you know, some extra from the OC comes through the door with the old lady, it's like, oh, croak.
One of the stars. And guess
what's going to happen eventually?
What?
He's going to go out the door with one of those.
That's right.
For sure.
You think so?
For sure. For sure.
Mm-hmm.
That's maybe crazy. That's what she wants.
The craziness, well, of course, that she comes from chaos. And
all right,
and
well, let's see if we can cut through her bubble wrap. Go ahead.
We have children, and this is not, it's a stable relationship. I am very happy with my husband, and he is very happy with me.
Mandy, I want you to listen to us. Just stop talking. Just answer the questions. What happened in your family of origin? Why did they break apart?
My family of origin? Why did they break apart?
Yes.
Like my mother and father?
Yes.
They were married for 25 years, and my father had after 9/11, he's near traffic control, and after 9/11, he went through, like, a big, midlife crisis, and she died within a year of him leaving her. She died of, like, massive head trauma. It had nothing to do with that, but...
All right, hold on a second.
I mean, that's...
Hold on, Mandy. Just listen.
My whole life.
Okay.
Man,
I was married with children before that.
Get that hold button going.
No, I'm just going to...
Okay.
Yeah.
Every time we'll do it all together.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, so listen, rap star. Your mom died of head trauma. What happened?
Hit her head on the ground. She let of the boys, like he was 11, she was a grandma. She let him drive the golf cart around a parking lot. Because it was the manager's son, and she fell out top speed of what, like 15? She fell out, and she just hit wrong and hit the back of her head and died a week later.
Trailer park?
Huh?
Trailer park?
No, it was not a trailer park. She was working, this sounds bad. She was a party coordinator for a very big country bar that we had here. She arranged the people to come in with the...
Why is it you're so vague? Why are you so vague?
Hello.
Why are you so vague about what happened to her?
I'm not vague about what happened to her. I mean, she was... because it sounds like she works at a bar, but she worked during the day.
All right, I'm with you. All right, let's move forward. We're going to move forward. Mom's fine. Head trauma. Sorry
Dad
to hear that.
Flipped out.
Now, Dad had a midlife crisis.
Whatever that means. A meaningless term, by the way.
She associated the two.
Did he start cheating?
This is what he told me, and I mean, take this, I was, 23. He told me that he felt like he was lying to people his whole life. And that
hold on. She's 20. You're 25 now.
2 years ago.
Yeah.
Could have been 16 months.
When my mother died, I mean, and when this all happened, like 3 years ago, I'm sorry. I'll be 26 this year.
It's a different time.
What did he tell you?
2002.
Of course.
He told me that he felt like he was living a lie his whole life, and he was definitely into his computer business and, you know, his job, and he didn't have time for my mom, and I think...
I thought he was an air traffic controller.
Married life, and then,
Was he an air traffic controller?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought he had a computer job.
Well, he did. He had an air traffic controller, and he had a side business. first. Okay.
All right. All right. So, and no abuse. When did you lose your virginity?
No abuse was 16. Not necessarily bad.
But you never had any experimentation with another girl when you were, say, in kindergarten?
Oh, well, does that necessarily... Oh, God. I think I experimented with a girl when I was, like, 12.
How about before
but
that?
I didn't necessarily go on with that.
How about before that?
Like, before? No, I didn't. No.
All right.
That's sexual experience. I was,
all right. So, but you consider yourself bi.
Well, yeah, I definitely like girls. I'm very picky. I don't know how much. I'm very, very picky.
All right.
I don't like every girl
out
there.
And you have one child?
Two.
I have two children.
Two children.
Yeah.
All right. Just know that it's a very, you've created a very unstable situation. When you bring other people in, it just affects the... It affects the boundaries in the relationship, and unexpected feelings will emerge. It's not right or wrong. It's just dangerous for your relationship. And if you really care about that family the four of you are forming, you should protect it every way possible. And you're putting it in jeopardy.
Here's my thing on this. Is like, if you, why get married? Even if you're bisexual, getting married is saying I'm picking one person who I'm going
to
be.
It's a commitment to one person for a stable formation of a family.
Male, female, it shouldn't matter. That's what I don't get.
Yeah. Right. If you want to do it, go do it. But the fact is you're putting your whole thing in jeopardy there.
I'll just chime in and say, once you have two kids, sorry.
Gigs up.
Windows painted closed, not going to open anymore. Yeah. Sorry, should have thought about that before you had two kids. Even married, you should have thought about before. But two kids, now it's a sealed deal.
Done.
All right, we'll take a break. Alex Borstein here tonight from The Family Guy and Mad TV in heavy syndication. Be right back after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Shayna and Travis going to be in here tomorrow night for Meet the Barkers, which I've seen quite a few times. And I've now really just figured out that if you take a interesting-looking couple, put them in a nice house, and follow them around with a camera, you got a show.
There you go.
Ta-da!
I will watch. Get a good-looking blonde chick. Get a guy who's pretty tatted up. Basically, Alex and her husband's story.
Yes.
And, She's a long-haired blonde Jackson over there.
He's got tats all up his neck.
Tats and what I would call aggressive piercings.
Aggressive
piercings.
You don't even know the half of it. He actually has a hat pin with a feather going through his testicles.
Wow.
Yeah, if you call a throat, nipple, and ample angle aggressive.
Ample, yes.
Who are you? I don't know you anymore, man.
Yeah.
You're so uptight.
Very aggressive. He has a mohawk that runs sideways ear to ear like a Napoleon hat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's hardcore. He actually stitched with metal thread. He stitched his anus closed.
How were those hats worn?
Oh, he did?
Yep.
Yeah.
Stitched his anus closed.
I got to believe part of that was because of me back in the day.
You're going after
I think it was my playground.
That thing. How dare you speak to his anus that
anus
way?
Anus was my playground. Yeah. Yeah, I finally just stitched it shut with barbed wire.
You did?
I cut myself the first few times, and then I learned.
Reservoir.
Yeah.
I'm doing a show for Discovery Health Channel, and I scrubbed.
No.
Yeah, listen, one quick thing. The scrub did on a penis enlargement surgery, which was very interesting.
But
now find out how much it costs, though, goofball.
No, I did. I don't have the number for you, but I did have somebody ask.
Scrubbed in. That's lingo for hanging out.
Yeah. Assisted.
Very cool.
Out.
Nice.
Yeah. How much?
I don't have the number. Since somebody had asked the number, I didn't.
For a penis enlargement.
And they basically sew in like a Pop-Tart around the penis. It's very, very interesting.
Yeah.
It's good time.
I take fat. You know that donor sticker you have on your driver's license?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's where it's going.
Really?
Yeah. It's human cells.
My rump fat?
Rump
it is
fat.
Human cells. It's pretty interesting.
Actually, yeah, it could be. I'm trying to think of what part where your soul resides on your flesh. Your rump is good.
They pull out your pineal gland and smear it on there.
Right.
But here's the deal. I can't get anybody to come on air and talk about an enlargement procedure they've had just to discuss why they did it and what they liked. It was a good blah,
right.
blah.
Because it's humiliating.
Yeah, and yet everyone, this urologist that did it, claims that everyone's the happiest patients I've ever had. They're
of course.
But maybe they don't want to admit they had a penis. I don't know. But I'm looking for somebody. Call here in Loveline.
I'll tell you how you get people to talk about it.
Come on Discovery Health. Well, Anderson, please help me with this. And here, pull somebody.
Why don't you go to the doctor and get numbers from him?
We tried.
Here's the thing. True, please. At a certain point. Come on.
Yeah.
All right. Here's my point. You're going to have to give away one of these things. He's going to have to give away one of these things, and that's how you get the person
that
on.
That's a good idea.
You talk to him before the surgery.
Friday.
You get that.
Chris, by Friday? Can you do it
now? Chris, what do you think, buddy?
Sure.
All right,
we got it.
Nice.
That's good.
Hey, look, if you throw in, like, $3 million and a house and maybe a reality show, I'll try.
You get the penis on?
I'll do what Chyna did.
Chris has a pine needle in his underpants right now, so we're going to see if we can fatten that baby up.
Go from 1 inch to 3 inches?
That's right.
1 to 2.
Yeah.
But 4 inches around.
The point is, Drew, you get somebody, you interview them beforehand,
right.
they give it for free or halfway, or the doctor you trade out, tell me you advertise the hell out, I'd be wearing a t-shirt with the
well
guy's
done.
Name on it, and then he comes on. All right, here we go. Back to the phones. Question for Alex. Did I mention Alex Borstein is here tonight from
Hello.
The Family Guy? She does Trisha Tuckanelli.
I also do a little bit of Lois.
I bet guys have masturbated to that.
Oh, guys love Lois. She's much hotter than I will ever be, and that's why I love playing her so much.
She's a sleeper. She's sleeper hot.
Mm-hmm.
Cartoon hot.
Cartoon hot.
Yeah.
She's cartoon hot. She's accessible.
What you doing with Peter? That's the big... It's like a Ron Jeremy relationship.
Yeah, well, look
there
at
you go.
Ron Jeremy's relationship. I've seen them documented.
There you go.
Very provocative.
Documented.
Yes.
Good action.
Yes.
In the field.
The hedgehog. Veronica?
Yeah.
You're 16?
Yeah.
What's up?
I had a question for Alex.
Go for it.
Okay.
He's like, Lois must have had a very abusive father.
Oh, God, yes.
Low self-esteem.
Oh, well, he was in the episode I was in.
Oh.
Very abusive.
Oh, he's the rich guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's the
oh,
rich
that's
guy
right.
in
yes.
Death Lives, yeah.
Oh, that's right.
I went to meet him. I think we went to meet him. We broke wind or whatever. Go ahead, Veronica. Oh,
okay. My question was, why did you leave the cast of Mad TV?
There was a lot of abuse there, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I was sexually abused by every cast member, especially Nicole Sullivan.
Yeah. Not so much with Mike McDonald.
Actually, I was there for 5 years. I had a 5-year contract, and it was over, and it was time. It would have been like kind of staying in high school after you finish, for me. So it was just the right thing to do, and I'm so glad I did. I mean, I loved it. It was the greatest thing, but now I'm playing. Movies and
oh, you were locked in or at Fox?
Oh,
I
was very locked in.
Yeah.
Very
well,
locked in.
You could do the Family Guy, couldn't you?
I was able to do Family Guy, but I couldn't write full time.
Oh, I see. You couldn't be on staff full time.
Yeah, and couldn't take any time off to do any features. Couldn't. It was really rough.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's wonderful, but also then you start wanting to try everything, and you can't. So
right,
they're ambitious skits. I mean.
Yeah.
They look like a
we
lot
call them
of work.
Sketches?
I mean, whatever. I don't know. I'm not
Drew,
the
it's,
lingo
it's
man.
It's little skits. It's
little
skits. I mean, are you going to scrub in or what?
They seem like extremely elaborate, ambitious, like, I, you know, a lot
some of
musical
them.
Stuff. And
it's really hit and miss. Some was really great and some was just crap.
Yeah.
But ambitious. You know what I mean? They must have taken a lot of work to set them up and execute them.
Some of them. Let's be honest. Some were written in a half an hour before,
oh, really?
Before school, so to speak.
I think I did that show once, Drew.
Really?
Did you?
Yeah.
That
was it when I was
yet.
In? I don't remember.
You do a little stand up at the beginning kind of thing?
You started to say little, didn't you, Drew? I heard that.
You can get a comedy
emergent. No, Jimmy and I did it. Jimmy and I did it in probably 2001.
I was there.
I would say, although for some reason I didn't see Alex there.
You probably shot it a day I wasn't there.
But we did shoot it with the audience, which is interesting. I mean, it was a shoot day, and we played figure skating commentators. Jimmy and I did, and what's his nose was Michelle Kwan or something, or Lee or
funny.
Yeah, whatever.
I don't remember it at all. But I bet it was hilarious.
it was awesome. It was awesome.
Becky,
no, here's the thing.
Did that answer Veronica's question?
Yes.
Okay.
Let me just say this on Alex's behalf. Alex is multi-talented, and. Talented people don't want to do one thing over and over again. If you're not that talented, you get a job on a soap, you hang on with both hands, you see if you can buy a condo, and you stay there for 20 years hoping some writer doesn't kill you, at least
have
in the script,
killed,
or
yes.
have you killed via with his pen. All right?
Right.
If you have talent, you want to do other things. You want to do this for a while, and that's great, and you've done it, and that's 5 years has gone by, and now it's time to move on to something else.
There and speaking of something else, I just finished a movie with George Clooney called Good Night and Good Luck.
Really?
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's going to be this little kind of small, cool movie about Edward R. Murrow and the McCarthy trials.
Wow.
Really?
Trying a little drama.
And what's your relationship with George?
George Clooney, he directed it, but he's also in it. He plays Fred Friendly, who was one of the main producers at CBS News at the time. And they were instrumental in helping to take McCarthy down.
Really?
And I play his assistant.
Wow. Well, that's nice. You hear so many stories about McCarthy and McCarthyism, but you don't, the swell part, but you don't hear the part where he got taken down.
Yeah, it's right? nice. It's a really nice little tale.
Well, that's nice. And how was George Clooney?
He was really nice. Kind of amazing. Very, very cool guy. Like, the kind of guy I would have imagined would have hated me and made fun of me and kicked me in the stomach in junior high was really nice.
Really?
A really cool guy.
Wow. Kicked in the stomach.
That happened to you?
No, but I have imagination.
Oh, I see.
I have fantasies.
She keeps her fire. Becky?
Yes?
You're 28?
Yes, I am.
Drew, you know how you think everyone talks about you behind your back?
Yeah.
That's what Alex does with the kicking in the stomach.
I see.
Keeps her
keeps the fire going.
Fire stoked. Yeah. Becky?
Yes.
Go ahead.
My question is, what is the relevance in childhood experiences with, like, for me, say, another woman as to my adult experiences in sex?
What's that?
I know what she's asking. You're bi, you're married, and you have four kids, it says?
Well, I don't know if I'm bi or not, but I feel like I am.
All right. She's asking, what difference does it make if she had a little fun with a playmate from, you know, in the fifth grade until the seventh grade?
Come on, everybody tries it at least
when,
once.
When a child is sexually abused by an adult, they will frequently act out in a explicitly sexual way with their peers. Mm-hmm. And that traumatizes the peer often. And one of the outcomes is that is all sorts of confusion about sexual identity. People have sort of trouble committing. They're being bisexual. And the fact is, in our culture, we want to go, oh, wait, whatever you're into. You're just a horny girl, whatever. Good, cool. The fact is, these are, unfortunately, severe boundary issues. They are wired in a way that have an ill effect on your relationships. It has to do with living through trauma and then reenacting it in your adult life. And these things need to be contained and treated, or they will eventually erode away your relationship.
Did you see the movie Kinsey?
I don't know. No. I didn't see it. But that was all about... But he studied really sick people, though. Really
it's more chaos in your adult life. Trauma in your young life translates into chaos.
And chaos is unhealthy for relationships. Relationships, unfortunately, to really be stable, need to be kind of, you know...
Boring. Yeah.
Basically. And then you can do all kinds of fun things with your partner, but you got to stay committed to that partner, or you're putting it in jeopardy.
Well, hold on a second, Becky. Let me ask Drew a question. What percentage of the population you think is organically gay and homosexual, let's say. Not lesbian. Just
actually are
genetic,
that.
Genetic...
5%?
No, it
2%?
Seems a little high.
2%?
5% seems healthy.
2%?
Okay.
2 to 4%, somewhere in there.
Yeah? But,
really?
But that's genetically.
Yeah,
There's another... You can 5%. Double that number from uncles getting them in the basement.
Yeah, you could triple that number from that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Now you're making 15% of the populace gay.
10's the number that's thrown around.
Is it?
Yeah.
Isn't that impossible to prove? Because how could you prove that someone, up until the age perhaps they were molested, might not have already been?
We hear that all the time.
We can't. You can say that if only 1 in 20 people would have been, then there's a good chance that that guy wouldn't have been one of those 1 in 20 that would have been biologically gay before his uncle molested him.
I don't know.
You know
I think
what I'm
you
saying?
Guys are covering something up.
Well, we're both gay.
Yeah, we're gay. That's beside the point.
Yeah.
But no, it's well established that early childhood sexual experiences change sexual identity. Just that you can't do anything about it. That's just how they are.
Yeah.
Whether or not they were born that way or
could you say the opposite then? If a man was on the road genetically to being gay and is molested by Mrs. Robinson next door, then he's married.
No, but he'll have all kinds of horrible, again, chaos and
chaotic
feelings.
You know what that road is, by the way, Drew?
No.
Hershey Highway.
Oh, it's
nice.
Yeah. That's highbrow humor.
Thank you.
Great.
All right, now, so, Drew, you say biologically gay, 2 to 4%?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, now what about biologically lesbian?
Ooh. Well, about gay, I'm throwing all that in.
No, but I'm tried in the beginning to separate these two.
No, probably 1%.
Lower.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, what about bi? Or are all bets off with chicks now because they're so flexible and society so open to experimentation?
You mean actually limber? or
yeah,
yes.
It depends on
you get to the vagina. Whereas before they just couldn't bend down that low.
Bi is always suspect because it usually means a history of boundary problems.
Usually.
Most people can, if you're in a married relationship where you've chosen one person and someone's saying I'm bi, that means you're going to cheat. That's what that means.
Yes,
that means I'm going to also be with other people, and that's right. Not a marriage. That's
well, right. Or you say I was at one time bisexual, but now I've chosen my mate who happens to be man or woman.
That,
and
that's
done.
Fine, but people are bi don't do that.
Yeah, they don't say one at one time to say I'm bi. That's why I announced to my wife before we got married.
You're
I was,
bi?
No, I said I was a rambling man.
Oh, rambling.
Did you?
Yeah, which meant, you know,
you.
At a certain point, it's going to have to come down to rambling time. I don't give her that speech where I wish I could take her, but I'm a rambling guy, so I have to ramble. But one day I'll blow through town again.
Well, the point is, though, we spend a lot of time being busy saying everything's good, everything's fine. Everything is good. Do whatever you want. Who cares? But there is a difference between healthy and unhealthy. And all a right. ton is known about that now.
Who cares?
Really?
That's
who
right.
cares?
Anderson just hates
really?
Drew.
Really?
That's Anderson what you just said, Drew. I was backing
all right,
you up.
Let's,
you
said who cares? All right, now, Becky, hang on, because four kids by and married, we need to talk to her, but we got to take a break. Alex Borstein is in studio tonight. Alex
yes.
is from, well, you know her from syndicated Mad TV and also, of course, Family Guy. I know movies with George Clooney. Look mm-hmm. out.
Big deal.
We'll take ourselves a quick break. Be right back after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191.
Yeah.
Drew, quiet. Trying to announce a show here. Alex Borstein's here tonight from The Family Guy. There's Lois and Trisha Takanawa. And also, and various other voices on the show as needed. Also, you know, we're from...
I also do Loretta.
Oh, you do Loretta.
I do Loretta.
That's right.
Yeah.
Also,
oh, no, you didn't.
You know her from Mad TV and a movie coming out with George Clooney. Oh, what a life. We have the Barkers in here tomorrow night, Travis and his wife, Shayna. And that was Oscar De La Hoya's wife or concubine or
Are you
something.
Kidding?
Yeah, she had a kid with him. I forgot all about that. They got a little kid running around, you know, looks like...
Oscar.
It's a chick, but it doesn't look like Travis. It's
a Hoya in the house?
That way. Hoya in the hizzy. Well, there's a spinoff. All right. It's got to suck, by the way, when your old lady is Oscar De La Hoya's old lady. Because you can't do any of that. You know you guys make
ass.
A living talking smack. I mean, that dude better, you just better watch his, you better watch his ass when he comes up the driveway. If he doesn't show me respect, there's a lot of that. I really can't do that. So say, sorry, Mr. De La Hoya. That scratch on your kid's no, on your kid's forehead. No. That, you know, let me explain. Fell off the hoppity horse.
Mm-hmm.
It was not me. All right. So when we left off, we're going to speak to Becky, who's 28 online.
Bye, Becky.
Becky, with four kids.
Yes.
And you're with girls on occasion.
I have been, yes.
So that would be yes?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, and when is everything's going to be qualified on this goddamn show?
What was that?
All right, and do you include your husband in on this?
No.
No.
And does he know about it?
He does know about it. Well,
when it... Yeah.
It's only happened one time since we've been married.
Yeah. Okay. And did you have any trauma in the past? Or it doesn't really need to be wholesale abuse.
Well, she had the kid on kid stuff.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I know. But this is also your dad could have split or philandered or something, done something good like that.
Wasn't my dad. My mom's boyfriend.
He sexually abused you?
Yes.
Okay, so you were the one acting out.
Plenty.
Yeah, you were the one acting out on your peers. Yeah.
All right.
No,
okay,
no.
So that's...
I feel like
that's,
the whole abuse thing was my fault anyways.
All right, but Becky, that needs to be treated.
Your fault with your mom's boyfriend?
As a child?
Right. And see, he went to my mom and told her that I was kissing him inappropriately. And so they had this whole sit-down intervention thing with me, and he was doing other things. And so then I could never tell my mom about it.
Becky, how old was he? How old were you, rather?
I was 11.
I just want you to think about having a conversation like that with your kids. Really? What kind of insane...
I like the preemptive strike the pedophile did, though. Your daughter's out of line. I can't keep her off my joint.
Yeah.
Hey, come on now.
Becky, this is a real seriously disturbed situation.
Yeah.
You need some treatment for that.
Yeah, your mom's a piece of work, too. I'm sure she was molested.
Of course.
Yeah, everyone.
That's why she brings the pedophile in, and this is the cycle
people
get in.
Listen, Becky, you have four kids, for love of Christ. Get some therapy, would you, before you F them up any worse?
Okay.
Yeah, that's what you have to do.
That's not just casual recommendation. That's serious.
You must do it. It's tantamount to abuse.
I went to a counselor for many years before because I have an anxiety disorder.
Okay. Well, anxiety disorder, does she know about the trauma?
I've talked about it, yeah.
Okay.
Here's the thing, everybody. I feel really bad for the people that were victimized in the past, but now you have four kids that you're going to screw up and unleash onto society, and then it becomes our problem.
It's transmitted.
You're much better having a parent in a wheelchair than a parent who was molested and never got any help. Mm-hmm. You're much better having a parent who's missing three limbs.
Much better a parent in a coffin.
In a coffin. That's right. Still alive.
But in
buried
a coffin.
Alive. Or actually putting arm and leg holes in the coffin and actually working that way. You'd have to open the door to feed them.
Like a little Kill Bill, too?
Yeah, just either that or actually, I'm picturing actually armholes sticking out of the coffin and like people wear barrels.
Sure.
Yeah, that's a goth barrel wear. Okay. We'll take ourselves a little breakout sports scene here tonight. Be right back after this. Anything? It was a little touche. But he suffered long enough. So let's see how his attitude is now.
Sam?
Yeah.
What's up?
Hey, do I get to go to my question now or the off-air thing?
Oh, well, I think we already established that the off-air thing wasn't going to happen.
Okay, just want to make sure.
All right.
So my question was for...
And the off-air thing is not going to happen because Alex has no juice. She can barely get into the place every morning.
It's true. Okay. Okay. Juice or Jews.
Right.
Well, I'm Jewish, too, so there you go.
Mm. Shocking.
Yeah.
You have to approach a perfect stranger to get into show business? Wow. Man, we should kill themselves. What are they? The smarta business? What is that? What's the rag?
Schmata.
The schmata. Yeah. Schmata. In the garment industry?
Yeah.
That's Mike's.
We have a horrible phone line. But go ahead there.
No, he just said nothing. That's all.
Oh, he said nothing.
Yeah.
Did he verbally say nothing? Or?
I said nothing.
Okay. Go ahead.
Anyway, my question was for Alex about how she went about getting voiceovers for Family Guy, because that's something I've been interested in since I was, like, six.
I slept with Seth. I slept with everyone.
You too?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Oh, that's how I got in there.
Really?
Yeah.
Drew did that for an under five.
Nice.
Yeah.
That would be a part that requires less than five lines, not with someone who was under 5 years old.
Seth was so loaded he thought I was a chick.
Oh,
I don't think he was lonely.
He doesn't have a ton of body hair, so I made that mistake, too. You're on the road again.
I actually started doing voiceover kind of I did characters on Mad TV, but even before that, the first thing I ever did was the Power Rangers. Power Rangers Zeo. I played the evil Queen Machina.
What did she sound like?
Oh, she sounded a bit like this Nexus computer used deep. Something like that.
Julia Child.
Yeah. Something.
Wow, the Queen.
You've never heard before, really original.
Wow. All right. But we spoke about this last night when... here's the thing. Seth was in. We have bands in here. Everyone's know how to break in. Everyone's know how to get that gig. It's a good gig. You're not going to get it, is the unfortunate part. And the same... And in all the years we've done this, no one's really had any advice other than do. You know what I mean?
Find your way.
But it seems to me that voiceover stuff is a route you get to through other means. Like you start doing improv or sketch comedy or stand up or something like that.
You find out you're too ugly to do things in front of people.
And eventually, well, that's not Alex.
Adam, she's talking about you.
She's talking about me.
It's like radio and Buzz Lightyear.
No one ever asked me how I do anything. Shouldn't they be asking me once in a while how I get into stuff?
You would think.
Shouldn't be curious.
You keep telling them it's in carpentry, so what are they going to say?
Yeah, here's the whole thing. I think now with voiceover work, you get your voice out there, people hear it, and then they decide you'd be good for this role, for the most part.
Yeah, I think, too, like a lot of people forget that with a lot of like primetime animation stuff, The Simpsons, and they're all really good actors. They're really good actors, and they happen to do these great voices. And a lot of people kind of forget that and just want to do a really funny voice. And it's like a It's kind of scary.
The thing about, you know, going to these places where you make tapes and you pay someone $385 and you get a little reel or something and then you send it out to a bunch of agents who don't listen to it and throw it in the garbage, probably not the way to go. I would get involved with an improv troupe if I was a young Sam and I was interested in the voiceover stuff and see where it led him.
Although, yes. I would say doing those things where you pay and you get a demo, then you're forced to listen to it in your car over and over again.
And it's horrible.
And sometimes you're able to realize, this isn't my gift.
Mm-hmm.
This is not what I should be doing.
Uh-huh.
So sometimes it's nice to only have to spend $400 to find that out.
Sam, maybe we can tell you it's not your gift for free.
Okay,
do you do any... You do some voices?
I have a gaggle.
All right, let's hear a handful of them.
Like what? Like a celebrity impersonation, or
let's hear you do Adam Carolla.
I can't. I have a bad. Okay, I can't do Adam, but I can do a bad Spanky Ham.
Okay,
Drawn Together.
I think that's my character.
Yeah, that's your voice.
Your character, yeah.
Yes.
This was from the one where he was up with Princess Clara trying to prank all the pizza things. I didn't remember ordering this pizza without sausage. You know.
Oh yeah, I remember saying that.
Not bad.
Yeah. Not bad. Who? Give us your top three. Whatever. Celebrities, dignitaries,
made-up characters.
Yeah. Whatever your top three are.
I've got a pretty good Gollum from Lord of the Rings.
Oh. All right.
Okay. So stupid hermits, they steal it from us. The precious, they steal it.
Calling all nerds.
Oh, that's
nerding.
That felt a little more Danny DeVito.
But that was still solid. That was very good. Go ahead.
A comic, a funny character.
Well, I think we just, let's let him do his top three.
All right.
What's number two?
Okay, a semi-decent Sean Connery.
All right.
Have you called this show before?
No.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
First time. Right. Okay, so semi-decent Sean Connery is, all right, look, Dr. Drew, I got a question. It's about erectile dysfunction. I hide it well, but it's a problem that I've got.
John Madden.
Semi-decent.
Six and a half, all right.
Yeah.
What else you got? Give us one more.
One more. Have you heard of Aqua Teen Hunger Force?
I have heard of
that. Everyone imitates that. I don't know
why. Well, I got a...
I think it's our demo.
A meatwad from Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
All right. So. It's always great hearing an impersonation of someone you've never heard before. Yeah. It's almost the same as going,
it's
going
to be good.
This guy, Kurt, I went to high school with, you grew up in the Bay Area.
Just like him.
I met you when
you were
41.
Remember that guy, Kurt? Yeah, well,
the point is I'm going to do what Kurt would sound like. all right, I hope he's funny, because otherwise there's nothing in it for me. But go ahead, give us Meat Monger.
You want a semi-decent Regis Philbin?
Yes.
Monger.
Yeah, I do. I do want that.
A semi-decent Regis?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you know, I've actually been told my Regis Philbin is pretty top-notch, but the thing is, I don't know how high the notch goes. That's pretty intense.
All right.
Alex?
All right.
Semi-decent, more like a Daryl Hammond.
All right.
Hang on.
All right.
Did Regis have a comment on that one?
Well, I did Regis Philbin for years on Mad TV, and it was very interesting because not only was I doing Regis Philbin, but I had to wear a fake forehead and a false penis in my pants.
False one on top of the regular.
They always had me playing men.
Really? Yeah. Mm. Well, no.
Just Regis.
Now, Miss Swan was not a male.
Do a Miss Swan. No.
Swan, not a member. She sometimes looks.
She was sexless and sort of genderless, but not a male.
Oh, I don't know. I think it's best sexy.
Do you understand hermaphrodite? Do you understand that term?
No, not hermaphrodite, but I also like to be bi.
Oh, you too.
Yeah, sometimes I need to be the vagina.
Did you grow up in San Francisco?
No, I'm from Cuvaria.
Cuvaria?
Yeah.
That's a great chicken joint.
Oh, really?
And did you... All right, so... But you have been with women and with men?
Everything, I tell you. Okay.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
It's funny because you strike
wild
me
in your day.
Demure, yeah.
In your day, I guess.
No, I
you
have
roll
a...
little E and...
I have a salon in the front, but in the bed. Oh, good stuff.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Now, a man could get a massage back there?
No, not a man, no.
Oh, a woman?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I see.
Would she have to look like a man?
Yeah, like a man, yeah.
So you're sexually, you look at yourself as sort of progressive, liberated.
Yeah, I think I liberate and progress.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all the time, everything. Yeah.
When's the last time you're with a woman?
This morning.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
At your salon?
No, not the salon. I was at the little motel.
Mm-hmm.
On the Fairfax.
Mm-hmm.
The Starlet.
Did you see this gentleman there leaving or
going? No.
No, she was, and you performed on the woman? I mean, I'm kidding.
No, I never do.
No, they do it to you.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, smart.
Oh, you don't have a team of people you hire to send out to do this work. You actually do the work.
Oh, yeah.
Or they do it on you.
She's talking about sex now, Drew. She's not talking about a massage.
I thought it was pedicures, manicures, massage.
No, someone actually being with a woman sexually.
Yeah.
True. You don't understand.
It's okay. You're not doing it's not.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Unless there's a strap-on involved.
And you're not doing, God says, okay, that's good.
God says good thing?
Yeah, good.
No strap-on, though.
No strap-on.
Then you just try to be something you're not.
Then you look like a man.
Like a man, yeah.
Right, you don't appear to be like a man, but I think there's something very sensual. True, pull it together. I find something very sensual about the female form. Do you agree, Mrs. Swan?
Oh, yeah, it's sensual.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's nice when a lady have a cushion.
Yes, they're softer.
Where? Up here or down here?
Oh, over. Nice.
Yeah, right. The breast and the abdomen.
I like knees with the cushion.
Oh. You like heavier women.
You like heavier
No,
set.
Only the knees.
Only the knees. So sort of a twist on the chubby chaser thing.
Knee folds.
Yeah.
But narrow waist.
Narrow waist.
Yeah, I like them to be almost sick. Everybody else like a Summer Blair in that movie. Storytelling.
Summer Blair, yeah.
Really tiny, but a big knee.
Huge knee.
Yeah, big.
But almost sort of a Biafran as far as the rest of the body goes.
Selma Hayek.
Selma Hayek with
big knees.
Britney Spears.
No, Murphy.
Britney Murphy, yes. Very thin.
Oh, yeah. Almost dead.
Almost
and elephantiasis of the knees.
Oh,
elephantiasis.
Yeah, that's hot.
So the medical textbooks must be very interesting to you.
So wow. And you know, I watched Mad TV, and you know, casually, I thought you were just married, and you know, I'm a
good mother. You saw the Swan Salon.
Well, I saw the salon, but I didn't know you were this sort of experimental.
I almost married a couple of times, but I like to keep myself unattached.
Right.
And maybe, you know, explore a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
We're only here for a little time, you know.
Right.
On this earth.
Yeah.
We got to get the kicks in.
How do you approach these ladies, or they approach you?
All the time they come.
They come after you. Yeah. And what do you say?
Do you have a rap? Do you have something you would say?
Usually the ladies say, hey, Miss Swan, you look like a lot of fun. Maybe you come, you show me good time, and I show you everything. And I say, okay, you do.
All right, so if I was a lady and I came into the Swan and I was, let's say, sort of narrow at the hip.
Salon. Huge knees.
A salon, yeah, but have massive knees.
Tiny breasts.
Just emaciated.
Huge elephantiasis of the knees.
That's for the breast to be concave.
Yeah. Concave chest, spine showing through the back, but huge knees.
I'm just wondering where this sort of aesthetic sort of ideal comes from.
Well, Drew,
But I mean, where you live, what kind of animal life is it? Marine life?
In the country I come from, in Korea, it's close to the North Pole.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And all the time, there is no public transportation. You got to go. You walk everything all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's so cold, you had to walk on the knee.
You develop a big
knee.
Right.
And
it's a turn on. So I remind you if someone's from your homeland. So if I was just to come in as a female with small shoulders and huge knees, how would it go? And I'd say like I would like a cuticle push and maybe a brow pluck, or maybe that's hitting a little too close to home.
I would say shh. No words. Don't use the words.
No words.
No words.
Don't you say, do you have a boyfriend?
No, only look into my eye and everything I know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But what if you didn't get me at first? I was like, look, I'm just... Drew, we're doing some role-playing here, please. I'm just in. I just want to get a wash and a condition, and I'm going to be on my way to work.
Oh, then I say, okay, just a wash condition. I'm not going to chase the lady at
all. Oh, I see. It's up to
I
them.
I don't need to chase, no tail.
Right, but what if I said, I think you look pretty hot? Yeah.
And
I smile. Yeah.
And I bet the eye.
Uh-huh. Because I like a house dress and a short bob cut on my semi-Asian woman.
It's good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to rock your world, baby.
Yeah. You should try. I'll show you what.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
He looks like a man, though.
Sometimes.
You with man sometimes.
Sometimes I don't look like man.
Yeah.
Wow. You look like woman.
Sometimes I don't look like Jamie Lee Curtis.
Oh, androgynous.
In between.
In between. Nice. Yeah, ambiguous genitalia.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Female testicularization.
Any parting words for Ms. Swan? This is enlightening.
I've noticed when young women go to the salons, they always ask about the boyfriends.
Oh, yeah.
Is that some sort of way in?
No,
does it mean something?
You know, Drew, not everything means something. You know, sometimes somebody just like to make with the vagina and the penis. It's not not abuse. Sometimes apple is just an apple, you know?
That's right. A banana is still a banana, and it's, you know, in your ass.
Yeah, yeah, sometimes, you know, you got to do what you got to do.
Who is number one?
That's right. That's Minka, the number one Asian big boob queen.
Just live with gusto and verve.
Wow. Well, Miss Swan, by the way.
Yeah, well done, Miss Swan. I'm enlightened and moved and I laughed. I cried.
Right. Send Alex Borstein in here, please.
And what's the matter with your husband? He doesn't laugh at this.
Hey, guys. I just stepped out to go to the bathroom. What happened while I was gone?
Yeah, I'll tell you, Miss Swan. She's in here for Mad TV. I know you're a big fan.
I can't believe
we had a million
here.
Questions for her. A million. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. It was something.
Yeah.
What is that ethnicity, though? I couldn't quite. Is that sort of
an
Indian or an Asian? I mean, she knows Miss Swan.
Miss Swan is she's based on my grandmother. She's an amalgamation of just every immigrant you've ever met and wanted to tear their hair out because you know they know what you want them to say and they're just playing with you. And that's. So we just created. She's from a place called Kuvaria, which is near the North Pole.
There's a certain amount of mileage. I never really think about it, but you could get out of a little language barrier and people not knowing what you're talking about. You're sort of always covered.
It's a passive aggressive.
That's the life of my grandmother.
Yeah.
Well, it can be passive aggressive, and it can just be the ultimate sort of out all the time. You can always say you misunderstood, and people always just sort of. Here's the good news is you don't always get the respect you should. But the good news is people don't really hold you down to stuff. They're always sort of like, you just tell me to
respect
understand.
Respect is overrated. Yeah. Isn't it?
Better just to have good excuses not to do stuff. Donna?
Yeah?
You're 22?
Yeah.
What's up?
Okay, I don't know, I'm a mess. I left this guy that I've been dating for 4 years about 5 months ago. Mm-hmm. And in that time period, I've slept with 9 people,
mm-mm.
And I haven't used protection any of those times.
Hold on. Did you say 5 years ago?
A 5-year relationship?
No, it was 4 months
ago. 4 months ago.
It was a 4-year relationship about 5 months ago.
Why did it end?
I don't. There was no reason. I just broke up with him.
Okay, so to me, this all smacks of somebody with real difficulty with abandonment and grief and that sort of thing.
Intimacy.
Well, maybe not intimacy, but the fear of somebody you feel intimate with leaving is so profound that you have to leave them before they leave you.
Mm-hmm.
And then the actual experience of leaving is so overwhelming that you start acting out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of what Donna's talking about here.
So, Donna.
Yeah.
We have screwy phone lines. You were with just one-night stands with these 9 guys?
Some of them, and some of them I actually dated.
Didn't you hook up with any, why didn't you stay with any of those guys?
I ended up, well, with all of them, I ended up creating some huge drama, and either they'd end the relationship or I would. And it was just, you know...
You're reenacting this drama over and over and over again, leaving drama.
Well, what happened? Where's your dad? He cut out?
He's still here. I just kind of... Well,
you don't like him?
No, I hate him.
Why?
Why do you hate him?
He's just, he's a mean guy. He's never been nice to any of us. And
Where's your mom?
My mom is still here. When I was little, when I was about 13, she was hospitalized for a nervous breakdown.
Uh-oh.
And she's been in and out of hospitals since then.
What is her nervous breakdown doesn't mean anything. What was her diagnosis?
I've never really known. I know that her and I take the same medications.
Which is what?
I take Seroquel, and she takes Seroquel too.
And what is your diagnosis?
I'm bipolar and obsessive compulsive.
Have they given you a personality disorder diagnosis?
No, I used to see a therapist who was really great, and he always said that I was extremely codependent, and that I had a borderline personality.
That's what I was looking for. Mm-hmm. This abandonment stuff is borderline.
All right, so what does she need to do?
Go back into treatment, Donna. You're for some reason been traumatized by this rupture in this relationship, and you sort of perseverate. You repeat it over and over and over again, the trauma in these newer relationships.
Mm-hmm.
It's a crazy thing that humans do. When something is really painful to them, they go do it again.
Right.
They do it over and over and over again, repeatedly, even in these sorts of spurts like this. And for her to kind of contain, she's going to need somebody to help her contain.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not, you know, you've had therapy. I can hear that you've had some work, but really you need help now containing yourself. Seroquel is a sort of a containing medication. It's sort of a ego glue, sort of, some people think of it as that kind of medicine.
Yeah.
And you need help now. And so once you get out of this cycle, I think you'll be okay.
Ego glue. I'm going to get some for Seth MacFarlane.
He can't stop drinking
out of
first.
Control. Came in here drunk. I think he was hopped up on the nose candy, by the way. I'm doing the booger sugar. Yeah, he took a... backhanded engineer Chris.
I saw that.
Didn't get him coffee fast enough.
Wow.
Wait, that was you.
Oh, that's right. Well, he had that coming because I said,
I said
creamer, and he put in medium creamer.
Okay, well.
So he had it coming.
You're tough, but you're fair.
I really am.
Oh, man.
I'm consistent is what I am.
He said those words.
Well, let me tell you something. I was going to say I demand a lot of myself and other people, but I really just demand a lot out of other people. I don't really hold myself to that same standard. It's too lofty, and secondly, I'd be disappointed in myself. And by the way, why hold yourself to the same high standard you hold other people to?
There you go.
You know, I mean, when you go in and get your brakes fixed in your car, you don't hold yourself to the same high standard that the brake job place does. You hold them to a higher standard, right?
Of course.
We should all do that.
Take a break.
Hold on. I want to speak to Tim, who can beat off 20 times a day.
No, let's talk to him after the break.
All right. What about saw a commercial for anal bleaching?
Oh, God.
Oh, I've heard about this.
I've heard about it, too.
It's to keep the anus from browning.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Adam?
Oh, my God.
Yep. I say Charmin wipes.
You're 26?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Thanks for the three Mississippi for the response. It's perfect with our phone problems.
Sorry about that.
All right, so you saw a commercial for anal bleaching?
Yeah, and I was curious what that's all about. It sounds like a big new fad.
It's huge.
You know, I was just curious what it entails.
Well, wait, what commercial? And by the way, you're watching too much Nickelodeon. Because I know
Noggin.
It's
total porn
Noggin.
Star stuff.
Trinity Broadcasting.
It was some like a show for like some surgery. You know, I want to have my butt done really well and. The chick
no.
I'm going to get my anus bleached.
No, it isn't.
This is a mason jar.
Hold on. This is a guy doing a bogus call who has zero creativity.
No. I'm telling you, this is the commercial I saw.
Commercial or a show, like a surgery show?
It was a commercial for a surgery-type show, like a Beverly Hills 90210 doctor thing.
Right.
I think if you need bleach on your anus, you're not wiping the right way.
Well,
front to back, especially ladies.
Who's doing
that's
this?
Right.
Is this for porn stars or... I mean,
I don't know. I mean, I could imagine if you spilled some gravy on your anus, you'd have to bleach it just to get the stain out. You know how tough grass stains can be on the anus, Drew?
Oh, yeah.
I've so heard.
Drew, if you play as
you
hard as
shout
I,
it out.
If you play as hard as I play,
I know.
You will get grass, you will get ink.
Occasionally, male stains.
Iodine. I always like when they do that with, like, shirts. Yeah. Iodine. What? What are you in the lab? What's going on with the iodine?
Mercury.
What are you doing with iodine? And they always throw in the blood, too, which is always a sort of weird one. Like, how much blood? How about at a certain point, go ahead and toss the shirt. You get enough blood on it. It's called evidence.
You guys called it masculine? What did you guys call it? Masculine?
Oh, yeah. And the
male, male protein
stains. In the man show, we had Masculout. It specialized in male protein stains.
Serial killer products.
Got another male protein stain in my pants.
Jimmy, we'll have to cure that sweater.
Can't get the masculine. Yeah.
I have no opinion about anal bleaching. It's bizarre. I don't know what it is. Whatever.
I don't. Here's the thing. I imagine it would help if you wanted to find someone's anus in the dark, like
if it, maybe they glow in the dark. Bleaching.
What about the using Nair on your butthole?
Depilatory.
Depilatory.
Yeah, that's also
they do the. The pulling, the waxing and stuff.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, Ms. Swan really should have opened up one of those pinky cheek type places.
No, we used to do, but we had to start. Two minute trouble.
Too much trouble.
Oh, yeah.
With the bikini wax.
Yeah.
The Brazilian.
You're really
getting. Because you get excited? You get.
Yeah, sometimes I like them to scream. I like the pain for the girl who want teddy. I say, what's a teddy? The jungle is a jungle. You let the jungle.
In the old country,
sure.
Would never do that.
Sure,
yeah.
And it, you know, it holds scent in, so it's attractive. Yeah.
If God forbid there another war, and you had to hide your diamonds or something, or bullets, you can put in your bush.
Bullets.
That's right.
Yeah.
Big civil war from Miss Swan's country. She was a Sandinista. We're gonna take a quick break. Drew loves Miss Swan. We take a quick, I do too. Take a quick break. Alex Borstein here tonight. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody, it's Love Line. Travis is going to be in here along with his wife, Shanna. Shanna. It's spelled S-H-A-N-N-A, which doesn't say Shanna to me. But they're going to be in here tomorrow night from
I think that's Sahanana.
And MTV. That's Alex Borstein, by the way. She is from The Family Guy. And the new episode this
May 1st.
This Sunday. It's coming up in 6 days.
9 o'clock.
And the new CD out tomorrow on Tuesday. So everything's coming up roses for Alex. Alex says,
always wanted to say this. We cut an album.
Oh, yeah.
There, I just said it.
There, I cut a fart.
Hey.
Alex is leaving and going to New York early tomorrow morning to do the Family Guy stage show. So she's going to hang with us for one more and say goodnight. We will talk to Tim, who's 23, who beats off 20 times a day. Tim?
It varies, but sometimes I can go upwards of more than 20 during the
day. More than 20.
Do you hurt yourself when that happens?
No.
You tried that once. You sort of turned inside out.
I did. Yeah. Well, actually, I started off inside out, and I just turned right side in. This is how
you're an innie now?
It started off as sort of like what the Invisible Man looks like.
You gave yourself a sex change accidentally?
No, my organs, my entire body was actually shot through my urethra.
Really?
I was younger.
First his powder, then his soul, then his
boom.
Intestine.
I'm just afraid of you.
And I just figured once I turn this way, I better stay this way now. So I looked like the fly before. It was horrible.
I wish I could have seen it.
Ah, no, it was horrible. The kids made fun of me. Yeah, I mean, you think they make fun of, like, someone with a hair lip?
Hey, I have a question. What's this guy's name?
His name is Tim.
Tim, did you come from a very religious upbringing?
Not very, but I went to church every time I was younger.
Sure, got to gather material.
I've got a theory about that.
Are you harming yourself with all this?
Not at all.
All right, so the way you judge whether or not you've got a problem is by the consequences. And if you are, you know, if you're spending a lot of money, if you're looking into weird stuff, if you're screwing with relationships, if you don't have time to work, you got a problem.
Well, hold on. If it takes him longer than if it takes him longer than 30 seconds a pop, it's gonna get into a schedule when it's going.
Well, but maybe that was a me day.
Oh, he could have been taking a me day. But here's the other thing too: is anything coming out the 23rd time you do it?
That's
in one
what I
day?
Wouldn't think. I wouldn't. I think you'd be sort
anything
of
coming
empty.
Out.
At the end, no.
That's what we call a ghost chaser.
Third time, nothing comes out.
Okay, hold on a second, everybody, with your endless orgasms. For a woman, you can have yourself a multi-orgasm. I'm not going to rub it in your face, but guys, something's got to come out.
In order for it to be an orgasm, or to be worthwhile?
You can have a little sensation and all that, but you tell me you're cranking off 20 a day, I'm going to need to see something.
Well, and that's a good point. It's hard to imagine that you wouldn't get prostate inflammation or problems, epididymitis, from all that action.
Yeah.
Or even urethritis from all what you'd have to do to yourself to get it to go that many times.
And nothing comes out. How do you know when you're done?
Here's the thing, experience.
Yeah?
Feels like an orgasm. Look like a man. feels like an orgasm.
I understand that. Hey, Tim.
Yeah.
Drew's being extraordinarily easy on you. This is least compulsive.
Yeah, I could dig. Here's the deal. Do you have a sexual trauma history in childhood? Like, were you exposed to a lot of pornography and stuff when you were little?
No, not more than any other kid, no.
Yeah. What were you exposed to and how old were you?
That's a bogus call.
Like, there's this college guy that lived next door to me when I was like
bogus.
Seven. Right. And
yeah,
he'd leave a porno in the trash and we'd look at the magazines.
All right. Tim, we don't really believe you because you don't really have a question.
Well, I was just wondering if it was weird at all because it doesn't seem normal. That's
well,
a
look, you ask every single one of your friends that averages five times a week if you averaging 162 times a week is normal and see what kind of answer you get. You have to call. You have to get on the horn and stay on hold for 20 minutes to find out beating off 20-something times a day is a little excessive.
I don't mean by normal. I just mean, is there anything?
All right. Well, here's how that happens, if in fact it does. Some people, that's their rhythm. More often than not.
It's a rhythm.
Yeah, I mean, that's a thing. But more often than not, it's...
rhythm is 20-something times
a day. I mean, he's not saying
day.
Every day. He said he's done it. He's
right.
Been, this is personal.
He has some
best.
Days that are in the teens.
Yeah.
Seems like it would just start to become a chore.
Here's the deal.
I gotta beat off again.
Here's a bipolar.
Let me tell you something. After,
I wish I could go to the movies, guys, but I gotta beat off.
When I start getting into the high teens, it's like the guy who works at the donut factory and then somebody brings a baker's dozen home, you know. Come on. I'll eat it. Don't get me wrong. I'll F that donut, but I'm not going to enjoy it.
But here's the deal. A manic phase of a bipolar can get hypersexual like this.
Mm-hmm.
People with sexual abuse histories in childhood become hypersexual periodically like this.
Yeah.
And maybe not explicit or overt sexual abuse. Sometimes people that are exposed to lots of pornography and stuff early on.
All right, but let me say what could cure all of this: the army. You know what I mean? Now we always talk about these, you know, what people are doing and compulsivity and all this kind of stuff and pathology. And
yeah, but I have psychology. I have friends that say that would cure addiction too. You know?
Well, here's the thing: a real good schedule is going to help with many early 20 guys.
Structure can
start
help.
Getting up at 6 a.m. doing push-ups. So tired you can't keep your eyes open. When you come home late that night, you just crash out and start the whole thing again. There'll be no more beating off 20 times a day.
Right.
This is a guy who, pardon the pun, has a lot of time on his hands, and 20-year-old guys have got a lot of time on their hands. They got their schwanz in their hands.
Mm-hmm.
That's the next thing that goes in the hand.
Mm-hmm.
Time in one hand, Nivea.
I prefer a penis in the hand as opposed to a gun.
Yeah. Agreed.
Although... Okay. I will occasionally use sex as a weapon and try to stab someone with my
penis. Stop using sex. I love it. A man who quotes Pat Benatar is a man for me.
Yeah. She asked somebody to stop using sex as a weapon. And then start talking about how hell is for children, Drew. Oh, have you seen me belt that out karaoke night?
Hell is for hell.
Hell is for hell. Hell is for children.
Make up your mind.
You will cry like a baby if you see me sing Hell is for Children. It is nothing short of powerful. Caitlin?
Hey.
You have info on anal bleaching?
Well, I think it's anal breaching.
What?
Yeah, I saw the commercial tonight, actually. It's really
good. Mrs. Swan's class.
Yeah, so she pronounces it.
We haven't even heard of this.
Anal breaching is where the anus actually comes up out of the water.
Comes out first.
I saw it, and I was really confused by it, but I definitely thought they said breaching.
True. Let's hope it's not anal breaching.
I hope this is.
No, I have heard of this. It's where a woman gives birth to a male horse, a calf.
Oh, really?
From her anus.
Anally.
Yes.
Wow.
Strong woman.
Let's hope it's artificial insemination, because otherwise that's just wrong. Or it's Jeremy. Caitlin. Thank you for shedding some light on that.
Do you have another question?
By the way, hold on. Phone screeners. Has information on anal bleaching. Yeah, she's mispronouncing it. It's her information. what if we just said we need some information on psoriasis? Drew's not up to and somebody called and says has information on psoriasis and says I think it's called papayitis. That's your information? You're mispronouncing what it's... You just mispronounce it? That's
called papyrus. It's a fruit.
That's your information? That doesn't count as information, does it? You mispronouncing what we're talking about? Okay. But
I mean, there's sort of a...
okay. There's something quaint about a 17-year-old. Yeah. It's sorry, like Cindy Brady.
That wasn't my real... My real question is something different, so...
Okay. What is it?
Well, okay, so my best friend and I have been having this, like, secret relationship.
Male or female?
He's a male. And we dated for a while, and then we just decided that we'd be better as friends.
Uh-oh, he decided that.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically.
Okay, so, well, listen, be honest with yourself about what really went down. Yeah, you still haven't sex. You're still into him, and he wants to have a friendship.
Yeah, so basically I've been giving him everything he wants, like the whole, like,
right.
But recently...
Kaylin, don't do it.
Mm-hmm. Everything was fine, though. Like, our friendship was the same. But recently, like, he's been, like, invited. We, like, spent a lot of time, like, late at night together. And then the next day, he'll, like, be a complete ass to me in front of our friends. And
oh, God, Caitlin, please tell me you didn't anally breach for him.
Yes, it's Brassel, by the way.
No, I didn't.
Okay, okay. All right. This happens.
You're still in the driver's seat, then.
We hear 100 of these a night.
Yeah.
The guys break up. Then here's the thing. It's really unfair. What they do is they hook up with somebody. They're not really that interested in them. They have sex. The person gets a little clingy. They
really
say,
attached.
We're too good of friends. This is not going the right way. Let's see if we can just break up, but I still want to keep my penis in you a couple times a week. The chick is so into them that they'll take any form of
relationship.
And
they think they can change
it. They buy the BS.
They think they can change
it. Well, then they convince themselves that that's the right thing to do. It's a friendship. We're just friends. You have to actually crack them and go, no, you're in love with this guy. What do you mean he's your friend?
In their heart of hearts, they do think they can change them, but to the outside world...
Or they change themselves.
Or maybe to them.
They can be out of love with it.
And then they convince themselves that they're progressive and it's 2005 and they can just have a nice sexual relationship with somebody, it's not going to work.
Does
You're in love
work.
With the guy.
Does not work.
So it's break it off.
Disaster for her.
Just break
and
it off.
She'll lose her self-esteem. She loses opportunity to meet guys that really do care about her.
Right.
It's bad.
All right. Let's take ourselves a break.
Alex.
Okay. I'm going to go bye-bye.
Alex is heading straight to the airport. She likes
to get
there 22 hours before the plane takes off. Alex is can be found this Sunday and every Sunday. Forever.
Ugh.
On Fox, 9 o'clock.
And check out my fabulous new website, alexborstein.com.
Oh, yeah, do that, too.
It's fun.
And
it's free, kids.
It's fun and it's free. Drew, get up. It's like you.
Fun and free?
Yeah, man.
It's like Caitlin.
Alex, God bless. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Best of luck, and we'll see you soon. And we'll take a quick break. Be right back after this. Yeah, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Alex Borstein has left the building. A little more show to go. Let's keep it going with Jason, who's 25. Jason?
Hi.
What's up?
Well, my wife wants to divorce me because I look at Playboys.
Mm-hmm. Sure, there's more than that.
Yes, what else in the story?
She is bipolar.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to know if maybe she's overreacting and that's part of typical of bipolars.
Or it's typical of bipolar, common for bipolars to have other conditions like personality disorders.
But be honest, if we spoke to your wife and said, why do you want to divorce Jason, would you just say, well, he looked at a Playboy?
I don't know. There's kind of a missing equation because she's not really, naming 100 things, you know, but the Playboys were an issue, and that was basically, you know, we've been married for 6 months, so that's really the only thing that we've argued about.
Well, then there's something far more deeply going on with her where she can't sustain in a relationship.
Yeah. On the other hand, Drew, if you don't have kids and someone's bipolar and they're talking about divorce month six,
she
has
a long life otherwise.
She has a
daughter. What?
She has a daughter.
From a previous relationship?
From a relationship. She was only married one time with me, though.
That's, that's what you call old-fashioned, Drew. All right, look. I don't know all the particulars. Here's what I do know. She's a handful. There's more than this than you just looking at a Playboy on the pot, I'm sure. But either way, if it ain't happening and you guys are at the half-year mark.
6 months, that's a disaster.
Yeah. Man, what about getting divorced? Would you care?
Yeah, of course.
You would? Mm-hmm. Are you deeply in love with her?
Yeah, I love her.
How about she get some therapy then for her condition?
She doesn't want it, and she's not medicated. And she says that I was withholding information. You know, I didn't go into the marriage telling her about the Playboys. You know, I wasn't going to lie about it. But
I actually brought pornography to my marriage. What are you talking about?
I saw it there.
You see me dragging that trunk?
Yeah, yeah.
With the triple X on it?
Mm-hmm. She had to marry that too.
Well, that's part of me.
I mean, I get it.
You know, people do that thing where they go like, look, when you marry me, you also welcome princess in your family. That's my schnauzer.
Right.
That's my porn. Princess.
Princess, my porn.
Yeah. She's a beautiful...
I've seen you petting it.
7,000 pound, beautiful, glossy page.
Bunker
filled with porn. And when you marry me, you marry princess.
Well, Jason, she's untreated bipolar. She sounds like she's getting manic and out of control. God only knows. When people are manic, they're irritable, paranoid, all kinds of crazy symptoms. They can think all kinds of crazy things because they're in an abnormal biological state. How about getting her to some proper care before you...
And by the way, with... manic mom who's unmedicated. As far as a kid goes,
oof.
Better life to just get picked up by a giant pelican and raised on the seashore.
Your pelican,
Rusty.
Rusty, yeah. Rusty do a great job with that kid.
Rusty is, you know what? He thinks he's a person.
Of course,
he thinks he's a person.
You've said that many times about.
I want a pelican. Can I have a pelican?
I imagine. On your island in the Pacific.
Well, no, but what about my house? I mean, people have big dogs that yamp all the time. I can't have a pelican. You know, I would feed it anchovies. I would do that thing where I did those three pier pylons all unevenly spaced and lashed together with rope.
Yeah.
And it would just sit out there.
Be cool.
And once
be so
in a while,
happy.
It would do that wing thing where it thought it was going to fly, but it didn't.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be
because
funny, too.
Wings.
Look at Rusty. Swallowing things whole. Every once in a while, he'd swallow something he wasn't supposed to swallow, like the mailman, or like a small car or something.
You see the mailman going down
his
throat.
You see the shape of him going down the gullet.
Don't you feel bad, though, not letting Rusty soar around? They're so beautiful when they soar, those pelicans.
They're majestic birds. Yeah, I'd have them clipped. All right, so what's the deal? Jason, she's not
bipolar.
Look, if she can't treat herself or get treated, you got to get out of that.
Well,
and by the way, if she wants a divorce, I don't know what the threat of you leaving is going to do for her.
Right. At a certain point, people are not at liberty to make decisions for themselves if they're becoming acutely paranoid, a danger to themselves, others, or gravely impaired. So
yeah,
she's heading toward impaired.
Don't marry nut jobs, by the way.
No.
All right, I want to go fast. Well, sorry, Drew. Hit a little close to home there. Let's hurry up with Chris because there's a stripper hooker question.
Chris, what's
here.
Up?
Well, you just tell him what's up.
Chris, sleeping. 114
minutes. 114
minutes.
Use a spermicide with a boyfriend. This is Chris to check. Effective, better, worse than pull out?
Spermicide with a pull out is the way to do it, and it's not a good strategy at all.
It's not.
A spermicide with ejaculation inside is bad times.
Really?
Yeah.
Doesn't
cut do much,
it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's sort of like bug spray. There's still going to be roaches and stuff getting all over the place.
Yeah.
Roaches in the vagina.
Come on.
Okay, let's talk to Rusty, big friendly pelican. Courtney?
Hi.
You're 20.
Yes.
You were a stripper.
Yes, I was.
Then a hooker.
Yeah, I guess you could say that.
How do you go? Was the hooking done out of the strip club? A lot of guys propositioning you?
Well, actually, can I give you like a little preview, like just let you know kind of where I'm coming from?
Yeah.
I was like 18, or when I was 15, I was in a long-term relationship for 4 years, and I was living with him, and I had like a normal, boring job. One day, I just decided to become a stripper, and it was like out-call stripping, where we would go to the people's houses.
Ooh.
And then I just kicked them out, and I started doing that. Then I got arrested, and then like a month later, I got arrested again. So then within a day after I was arrested the second time, I moved out of town, and I started going on this big-time moving spree, like where I just moved from town to town to town.
Yeah, rambling. Yeah.
In the L.A. area. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And anyways, so then I started stripping in the club, and then I started going on some crazy drug use. I got really big into methamphetamines, and then I started to use, I kind of tried heroin a little bit, and this all happened in a year, and I met a lot of bad people. I had.
By the way, this is Engineer Chris's life, exactly. Mm-hmm, you're describing his life.
Mm-hmm.
You've replaced all that with the... one class at junior college and living at home, and you have exactly the same. Oh, going to his brother's Starbucks to get some freebies.
What's your question?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, my question is, I just recently moved back home because of the drug use. I'm trying to get sober. I have 5 days sober. Mm-hmm. And I just want to know, do I have, like, some sort of post-traumatic stress disorder, or will... I've been going to NA. Will that even work for me? Because...
Yes, NA is a great idea.
I've been having horrible nightmares.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you are going to have...
really hard.
Yeah, you may be bipolar. You clearly have a lot of trauma stuff going on. That can be sorted. You don't want to get too into that early in recovery, because that just tends to fuel your desire to use.
So focus on staying sober.
Focus on basics of sobriety, connecting with sober peers, going to NA 3 times a day, working with your sponsor, doing that step work. Just stay one. This is the basic stuff, the one day at a time part, because all you're dealing with, all that will get sorted in good time. I do think, though, if you sound a little manic, and you might want to have a psychiatrist see you, because if you are manic, you will go out no matter how tightly you are connected to NA.
All right. We'll take ourselves a little break. We'll be right back after this.
Yeah, everybody. That's it. I want to thank Alex Borstein for coming in here from the Family Guy and also Mad TV and our George Clooney movie.
And Miss Swan, too, for visiting. It was great.
Oh, it's great.
It was nice.
Yeah, nice.
Very big, big knees. I was really entertained by that.
Shane and Travis in here tomorrow night from Meet the Barkers. And until next time, Santa Cruz for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.
I wish I could go to the movies, guys, but I got to beat off.